Hey, thanks so much. It is 6 minutes past the hour. This is a very delightful return appointment with the great Jennifer Joyner, nurse practitioner extraordinaire, nurse practitioner cardiology. Her leadership title at Deborah Heart and Lung Center is coordinator of the Structural Heart Disease Program. Her certifications include adult gerontology, primary care nurse practitioner, critical care nurse, cardiac surgery subspecialty, postmaster certificate, advanced practice nursing, as I mentioned, in the areas of discipline, practitioner, Monmouth University, West Long Branch, New Jersey, master of science in nursing, nursing education, Monmouth University, West Long Branch, New Jersey, bachelor of science in nursing, James Madison University in Virginia. And as I mentioned, we have visited in the past. Jennifer, it is great to welcome you back. How are you?
I'm great, Harry. How are you? Thanks for having me back.
Outstanding. It is a pleasure. And such an important topic, heart valve disease. And we're going to play the Deborah Heart and Lung Center game show version of Fact or Fiction. First question to Jennifer. Fact or fiction, valves regulate the flow of blood through the heart.
Fact.
Do tell.
Okay, so we have four heart valves. They are one-way doors that regulate blood flow in one direction. So when you have valves that can no longer function properly, sometimes that blood is going in the wrong direction, or it can't get out properly if the valves are too tight.
Valve disease can occur in any of the heart's four valves, fact or fiction?
That is a fact. That is a fact. Now, some valves are more prone to problems than others, but yes, we can have tight valves, leaky valves, prolapsed valves, underdeveloped valves in any of the four parts of the heart.
Valve disease is a disease of aging, fact or fiction?
Well, I'll hedge my bets and say can be. It can be a function of aging. Some valve problems can take a decade or longer to progress to severe, but sometimes valve disease or damage can happen much more quickly. If you have an infection in the bloodstream or from a sudden heart attack, that can damage the valves immediately in short term.
Jennifer, bonus question. I think an area where many people don't pay attention to the potential seriousness of what can happen. You just reminded me of something with that great answer, and it is dental hygiene. If folks have like infections, other, you know, just poor oral hygiene, that can go directly to an otherwise healthy heart valve and cause tremendous damage, can it?
It absolutely can. It's called systemic bacterial endocarditis. So our valves are made of tissues. They're very sensitive to bacteria in the bloodstream. And the bacteria can latch on to these valve leaflets, causing damage. One of the most common and more preventable causes comes from our mouth. You know, our mouth is very bloody with, you know, flossing, with brushing, very easy for bacteria to get into our bloodstream from the mouth. So dental hygiene, seeing the dentist, getting your routine cleanings, getting any type of dental pain or cavities addressed in an expeditious manner is really important and can be directly tied to heart valve health.
Mm. And people many times just don't realize that and think that it's never a good thing to not have good oral hygiene. But I think a lot of people don't realize the potential damage that can occur.
Correct. I mean, it's a very rare occurrence, but it absolutely can be devastating once you have an infection of the heart valve. Very difficult to treat.
Jennifer, causes of heart valve disease, what do they include?
Well, we could be born with some heart valve issues. They're called congenital heart conditions. Either they are underdeveloped or they're malformed. Very common for people to have a bicuspid aortic valve, which is a two-leaflet valve instead of a three-leaflet valve. If you think about it, two valves are working much harder than three, and oftentimes that valve will wear out decades earlier. So a bicuspid aortic valve may need replacing in your 50s and 60s versus the traditional trajectory of 70s or 80s. medical conditions. If you've had rheumatic fever as a child, which of course is not as common as it used to be, baby boomers may still remember, you know, people having rheumatic fever as a child. That can damage your heart valves that show up decades later in life. Infections like we talked about, heart attacks, heart failure can cause valve problems. Valve problems can cause heart failure. Heart rhythm issues such as atrial fibrillation can cause heart valve problems, and the other way around as well. If you have connective tissue disorders such as Marfan syndrome or Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, diabetics, carcinoid tumors can form in the heart, autoimmune diseases such as lupus, if you have an aortic aneurysm, all of these things can contribute to valve problems, but also medical treatments. If you've had radiation to the chest area, that can damage heart valves. Now, that's mainly, especially the old school radiation, you know, more recent radiation technology is a lot more precise, but it can still damage heart valves if you've had chest radiation.
We are visiting with Jennifer Joyner. The topic is heart valve disease this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Jennifer Joyner, to make an appointment with the Department of Cardiology or any of the disciplines at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, you can call 609-621-2080. I'll repeat, 609-621-2080. And it's so easy. The attendant will work you right through to the scheduling portal. You'll be, you know, all set, ready to go. If you like to do it on your smartphone or your laptop, desktop, iPad, whatever, you can go to on the web to demanddeborah.org. Again, the topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, Jennifer Joyner, is heart valve disease. And we continue. Fact or fiction, you may be at risk for valve disease if you have certain risk factors. What are they? Well, is it fact or fiction? And depending on your answer, what are they?
Yes, yes. There's absolutely some common things that people may have that put them at risk for valve disease. Number one is age. If you're 65 and older, you're automatically at risk for having valve disease. You know, if you have a family history of people having valve problems in your family, of course, congenital heart conditions, that's obvious. If you're a smoker, if you're obese, if you live a sedentary lifestyle, or unhealthy eating patterns, that all put you at risk for developing valve problems. But also, one thing I'd like to note is the unfortunate fact that heart valve disease diagnosis rates are a lot lower for women, people from lower income households, minorities, and those living in rural communities. So this can unfortunately lead to diagnosis of these valve problems at a much later stage when you have much more severe symptoms, potentially permanent heart damage, increased heart failure, and hospital admissions. This, of course, will lead to higher death rates and at a much younger age. Deborah Heart and Lung Center is committed to community outreach in rural and underserved communities, especially in southern New Jersey, to increase health screenings, diagnosis, and treatment of heart valve disease. Increasing access to care is a priority for us, in part for this really important reason.
Very important answer. Fact or fiction, in terms of symptoms, what are the symptoms?
You know, symptoms are attributed to just getting older. Fatigue, shortness of breath, especially with exertion. You may notice swelling in your feet or legs, fullness in your belly, chest pain, dizziness, even passing out, and overall a decrease in your usual functional capacity. You're not doing as much as you used to because you just don't feel like it. You're just exhausted when you're exerting yourself. And I know we've talked before on previous shows about how many of us, as we get senior in life, we just chalk some of these symptoms up to getting older as if it's normal. But please do not make that decision for yourself. Please pair up with a provider that can do a full examination and listen to your story and your symptoms and how things have changed over the last 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. And let the provider help figure out if this is actually a heart valve problem or something else that's quite treatable, especially in its earlier stage.
So important. We only take one time out, one break during Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Today, Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents Jennifer Joyner. to make an appointment with the Department of Cardiology or any of the various disciplines that DeBoer Heart and Lung Center is legendary for, you can call 609-621-2080, 609-621-2080, or on the web at demanddebora.org. When we come back in just a few minutes with Jennifer, the question on the floor will be about heart murmurs. Is a heart murmur the sign of valve disease? We'll get involved into what a heart murmur is and all of that when we come back in just a little bit. Don't go away. Much more. DeBoer Heart and Lung Center presenting Jennifer Joyner right here on the Hurley in the Morning program. Welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour. DeBoer Heart and Lung Center presents Jennifer Joyner. Our discussion this half hour is heart valve disease, fact or fiction. And we did put, let me just remind everybody that's listening, two quick things. One, and both are important. One, if you've missed any of today's program with Jennifer, you've missed a lot. But when we upload the podcast, you can download it. So this episode will be available on demand. And typically, and I saw one just the other day with Jennifer and I on the DeBoer website. So either way, demanddeborah.org or right here on the WPG Talk Radio 95.5 app. As soon as we upload it, it's available on demand, and it's important content that literally we've said this over many, many years that we've worked with DeBoer Heart and Lung Center. This is a program that has, it's provably true. It has saved lives. People are listening that hear an expert like Jennifer talk about a certain issue and literally go seek out the care that they need because they've heard something which just indelibly, undeniably, however you want to put it, just showed someone, Jennifer, that they were dealing with something that they just heard you or one of your colleagues say. So the program is very important, is I guess what I'm trying to say, Jennifer, and thanks for your time and expertise.
Happy to help.
Absolutely. So we talked about right before the break that we would come back and have you address a heart murmur. Is a heart murmur a sign of valve disease? And you'd do it anyhow, but let me make sure we do it. What is a heart murmur?
Yeah, so a heart murmur is an abnormal sound of the heart. Now, when we listen to the heart sounds, we're not listening to the heart beating. We're actually listening to the sound of the valves. And the valves are supposed to sound a certain way. When they have a different sound, providers can determine, is it a leaky valve? Is it a tight valve? We call this abnormal sound a murmur. And not all murmurs are serious, but it can be an early sign of a heart valve problem.
Jennifer, I guess a listener of yours that went through the whole program, actually went through the program with the incredible, very, very special doctor in the devices area of DeBoer Heart and Lung Center, went through all the things, wore a Holter monitor for a period of time. They were having palpitations, and then they went through the whole DeBoer program, determined they were an accidental tourist, and didn't have palpitations for like 15 years. The palpitations are back. Does that mean anything? Should they do something about that? Or should they consider, well, I went through all this, you know, devices and all this last time, so I'm sure I'm just the same. If they are back and they're actually back and happening more than they were 15 years ago, what would you say to somebody like that?
I would say absolutely get back in with a provider and have another look. You know, anytime you have palpitations, it's not normal. It's not normal. And just because they didn't find anything that they felt needed to be addressed or fixed back then does not mean that it's the same situation now. So having a reevaluation is really important. You're older, other medical conditions can come into play, and the palpitations may mean something is going on. So screening saves lives. Yes, you take the time out of your day to meet with someone. And yes, I'm having all these different testing and stuff again, and it's probably nothing, but maybe it is.
Yeah.
So it definitely, I would say absolutely get back in with a provider for another look.
Yeah, they're going to do it, and they're going to be calling Deborah because, you know, they don't want to ignore it. But they obviously, it's disconcerting that it goes away for 15 years, but then it comes back. So, yeah, they're going to follow up. And that's an important question to the gentle lady listener. And thank you, Jennifer, for the answer. Now, you covered what a heart murmur is. Is a heart murmur a sign of valve disease?
It can be. You know, remember, most heart valve disease starts silently. And when I say silently, I mean behind the scenes. You have no idea. You're living your life. You have no symptoms. Nothing's holding you back. But if you put a stethoscope to the chest, a provider can hear that abnormal sound. And it could be your heart valve. Heart valve disease can start behind the scenes long before we actually start having symptoms. When we start having symptoms, the valve disease may be progressing, but you're not quite ready to have it intervened on yet. At that point, you should have more frequent screenings, more, you know, contact with your provider. So that way, as your symptoms worsen over time, they can match it up with if the valve disease is progressing at that time. So you can find the right window of opportunity to replace or repair the valve.
We have done, as you know, we have done whole half hour programs with Deborah on high blood pressure. This they call it the silent killer. Because people can deal with it for years and not even realize that, you know, something's going on if they're not regularly seeing their healthcare provider. You know, you just go on like everything's fine, but it's not fine. Heart valve disease, could that go on for years and people just go on and maybe they're feeling the things you're talking about, you know, fatigue, chest pain with exertion and some of these things, Jennifer, that you covered. But is this something that can go an extended period without being properly diagnosed?
Absolutely. And again, as we get older, some of these symptoms are subtle and slowly progressing over time. So it's very easy for us to say, I'm under a lot of pressure, I'm under stress, I'm just getting older, you know, and not realizing that it's a slow progression behind the scenes of your valve disease. So it's really important, even if it's once a year, even if you feel that you're feeling fine and it's probably nothing, let the providers make that decision. Let them do the screening, the blood work, the physical exam, talking to you, trying to understand what subtle changes that you're seeing over time. And if you have a good relationship with a provider, they may notice the change in you. Your family is often the people who come with the patients, and they're the ones reporting that they've noticed a change in their family member. So really important. It takes a village, and I'd rather see you early and often. That way we know when the right time is to pull the trigger on intervening on that valve disease. But we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So screening, please, saves lives.
Jennifer, it's so important. I've never heard ever earliest detection ever being bad in terms of potential best outcome. So that's it's so important what you just said. To make an appointment at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, it is so simple to do, but it's potentially one of the most important phone calls that you will ever make in your life. 609-621-2080, 609-621-2080, or on the web, any digital device will do, demanddeborah.org. How is heart valve disease diagnosed, Jennifer?
The easiest way is with a stethoscope and a physical exam, a good physical exam. From there, if we have any suspicion that there may be some valve disease going on, we usually recommend a routine echo. An echo is an ultrasound. It's not invasive. Put some jelly on the chest area and use an ultrasound probe. It kind of turns sound waves into pictures on a screen for a provider to review. It looks at all of the heart valves. It looks at the heart wall muscle motion. It gives us a wealth of information that can help diagnose exactly what we're suspecting on physical exam.
So beyond listening with the stethoscope, an echocardiogram, if you deem that to be appropriate, are there other diagnostic tests that may be performed to detect valve disease?
Yeah, In recent years, they've developed cardiac-specific CAT scans, cardiac-specific MRIs that can assess valve function on a different level as well. Yep, but the easiest is physical exam and a routine echo.
So you've hit it out of the ballpark in terms of, you know, the diagnosis and all of that, and folks, you know, paying attention to symptoms and not assuming, hey, I'm just getting older, so I won't do anything about this. This is just normal. No, it's not normal. So this has been very instructive, what you've been doing here today, Jennifer. And I'm sure people are wondering, after diagnosis, what are the treatment options?
Yeah, so when you're first diagnosed and you're still feeling well, it could be just come back once a year. As your symptoms progress and the valve disease progresses, we'll see you more often, sometimes down to every 3 months if needed. But at the time that we recommend intervention, you know, traditional open heart surgery used to be the only option about 15 years ago. That all changed when the structural heart field came into vogue. The FDA first approved the TAVR procedure. By now, a lot of people have heard of TAVR. It's a way to replace the aortic valve using stent technology with animal tissue for the heart valves. We replace them through a small puncture site in the groin area as opposed to traditional surgery. But from that point forward, this field has just exploded tremendously. We are now into the mitral and tricuspid valve space. We have both repair clips and replacement valve options designed specifically for these valves. The tricuspid valve has often been considered the forgotten valve because people often didn't do very well with traditional open heart surgery for the tricuspid valve. And until recently, we really didn't have good transcatheter options to address leaky tricuspid valves. Well, we do now, and it's been very rewarding to see the long-term impact that intervention has made in the quality of life in these patients. But the most recent FDA-approved valves in our arsenal have been approved in the past year. They are transcatheter mitral valve replacement and a new one designed specifically for leaky aortic valves.
Wow.
The original TAVR valve was approved and designed specifically for aortic stenosis, which is typically caused by a layering of calcium on that aortic valve. The leaky aortic valve is often they don't have calcium. They're leaking for a different reason. So we needed a specific valve for leaky valves because there's no calcium for the valve to hold on to. So now that we have this newly approved valve for leaky aortic valves, I mean, it's been a game changer for us. Debora is proud to have access to all of this FDA-approved valve technology. We're also involved in some of the latest research trials in the valve space, which may even help transform the field even further in the future. And I don't know if you knew this, Harry, but we were the first hospital in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware to implant this newer transcatheter mitral valve replacement valve. We're really excited about it. We're very proud. This is in no small way the direct result of our robust heart valve team, focusing on personalized care, having the latest and greatest technology available. Our goal is to improve not only the quantity of your life, but the quality of life. We want to screen you for the right procedure at the right time, the right valve in the right patients. We have everything from soup to nuts and surgery if we think you need it. But we're excited that we have something for every valve that doesn't require open heart surgery anymore. So really exciting time to be in the structural heart field.
In order to appear with the great Jennifer Joyner, I did have to do a little bit of reading before the program. So I spent a few hours actually looking at things like how many Americans deal with heart valve disease. And I learned that it's not a small number. So I've seen different reports, but it seems to be fairly agreeable that up to 15 million Americans. So this is not just a handful of people, Jennifer.
No. And, you know, our baby boomers are all within that target range of being old enough to have developed valve problems. So we're going to continue to diagnose thousands of people with valve disease each year. And when you have one, you often develop two or even problems with three of your valves. Mm-hmm. So right. The more valves that are impacted, the more complex your case is, and you want to be at the right center to address it.
Final question. It's a bonus question. Is there a handle right now in terms of which route to go? I'm sure that it matters, you know, for the individual, and their healthcare provider would share with them that in their particular case, which one they think would be best. But there's a mechanical valve route, tissue, I guess even donor. Is mechanical becoming like top dog?
No. So just to clarify, the mechanical valves, when we talk about mechanical valves, that is purely a surgical valve. That is not the structural valves, the transcatheter valves that we're working with through the groin. The mechanical valves mean that the leaflets of the valves themselves are metallic. They require lifelong anticoagulation blood thinners. That is in the surgical space, often offered to patients who are much younger. So that way they get one open heart surgery with the metallic valve, and that in theory should be it for them for life. When you're older, they don't typically offer the mechanical surgical valve. They'll go with tissue valves. But in the transcatheter valve space, it's tissue valves, either from cow or pig tissue. It's not the actual valve of the animal. It's the tissue that surrounds the animal's heart that they carve and kind of shape into a valve shape, but then it's attached to stent technology. Now, the stents are those metal cages that we talk about, but that's not actually metallic valves. The mechanical valves are surgical. The transcatheter are all tissue.
All right. I feel like I'm flying without a net, but I'm going to dare to pose this question. The tissue does not require anti-rejection or anything that you have to take, or does it?
Nope. You are correct. Ooh. These tissue valves.
I was scared, Jennifer.
These tissue valves are treated so that all of that antibodies, everything is taken care of before that they go into patients. We only require aspirin, low dose coated aspirin for these tissue valves.
You've been very generous. It's actually a minute and a half late for me to let you go. But if I could just beg your indulgence, if you get the tissue, is that like a 10-year deal, or is it a little too arbitrary to throw a number out?
You know, it's always the hot question. How long is this valve going to last? And we always take into account what your next procedure may look like. So the shortest answer I can provide is it depends. We'd like to say these valves can last 10 to 15 years. In the transcatheter space, valve technology has only been out for 15 years. However, the data on all these research trials that they've been doing that led up to these FDA approvals, these valves are working beautifully. We have no reason to think that they can't go longer, but we can't guarantee anything that we haven't proven in research yet. So 10 to 15 years would be great. Some people, the valves fail sooner. Some patients are still out there at 20 years, you know, depending on surgical or transcatheter valves. But we'd like to say 10 to 15 years, depending on the patient's risk factors.
You can see why I love doing the program with Jennifer so much. Outstanding appearance, Jennifer Joyner. To make an appointment, call 609-621-2080 or on the web at demanddebora.org. Thanks for the bonus time. I hope I didn't hurt your schedule.
Not at all. Thank you so much for having me back, Harry. I appreciate it.
It's a real honor to present you, Jennifer. We'll be back.